And we are opening question and answer session. So if people would like to ask Pante some questions,
Yes,
here
please.
is the time.
Yes, carry on, please. Can you hear? Can
Yes,
you?
we can hear you, Bante.
Yeah,
We can
yeah.
hear you well. And with your permission, Bante, I would like to remain silent today.
I will see what is whether it is beneficial or not.
I hope yes.
Hello, Bante.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to report that I took your advice to heart
Yeah.
and focused more on details whilst walking and whilst sitting. And yeah, I did notice a lot more. So during walking, I noticed the changes of pressure on the sole of my feet as I'm shifting the weight and lifting the foot. And while sitting, I notice tension in the muscles in the abdomen as I exhale and inhale. And also kind of mood and emotion associated with that. So mostly, yeah, either tension or relief or joy or kind of dullness and sleepiness and how that changes. And sometimes I also notice like depth of breath and distracting thoughts occurring. And yeah, sometimes I can kind of let them go and remain vigilant and mindful, and sometimes I don't notice that, and I only notice when I'm already distracted.
Yeah, that means that whenever thoughts happen, you see thoughts, you see your distraction, and that is your mental mood. So is it something to be encouraged or discouraged? It's a distraction or it's a kind of a understanding of my, you better shut off your video, please. Then the line will be, I think, better. Yes. What I was thinking, talking was,
Okay.
you managed to see distraction. It was in terms of thoughts, and then the distraction happened. You are not happy. So now you are learning little by little. It is a dark side of yourself. No problem. But if you continue to like that, continue to do like that, what is the end of the distraction? There may be another encouraging, good point. So only the problem is, as far as it's distraction, as far as it's a thought, you can't wait till it disappears. Therefore, you end up with forcefully. So therefore, you must go prepared, even if it is distracting, even if it is wandering mind, just to see the natural end, or whenever possible, come back to the primary object, and then the dullness, sleepiness, tension. They are arising by itself, and if you are patient enough, of course, when you are in a retreat, residential retreat, only we can have that kind of a patience to see. All these emotions, bad, negative things, end up with positive. So don't try to make a hard and fast decision, but try to follow one or two such negative things towards the end. Then you may understand each and every bad thing end up with good thing. Each and every good thing end up with bad things.
Thank you, Bhante.
And there you may find, under such circumstances, walking meditation or mindfulness in walking is better than mindfulness in sitting. Because our mind knows how to do it in action, rather than in inaction. So therefore do a fair amount of, or increase fair amount of walking meditation. Definitely it will help promote yourself.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'll make sure to walk more.
Hello, Bante.
Hello.
Learning about my dark side, this part definitely resonated with me. your discussion about the passage on being withdrawn, ardent, resolute, and diligent was very useful yesterday. For two reasons for me. So the first one was being withdrawn. So I realized that even though I'm being partially withdrawn from social interactions, there is an impact of the like minimal social interactions here. But even more importantly, I am distracting myself with kind of generating social interactions inside my head. Like this internal monologue. it was source of like a dukkha, probably the biggest, one of the most like coarse ones, with this kind of critical voice. So yesterday I noticed that I had to open my eyes actually during sitting meditation to balance the kind of the draw of the internal mental chatter, and also of this kind of dullness of the safe haven, as you called it, of the head, which now I see it more and more as a escape to pleasure of dullness. So I noticed that what happens when the I can feel the breath in my throat. Like the mind is adding like a mental noise as if to move away my attention from body to the mind, to this mental space, probably to not to feel emotions. So that was very useful because I was able to, when I noticed it clearly, I was able to let it go, and then the mind was really clear of the mental chatter. So very, very, very clear space of this mental internal chatter. So that was the, yeah, then I felt definitely more withdrawn. But then there's more, it only made some additional underlying emotions more prominent. So I don't know whether it would count as a kamasanya, as you mentioned yesterday, but there's this mood that always comes out when I'm alone, and also in my life of this like absolute loneliness, very, very scary. Like facing it is very scary, and I suspect that all the defenses are kind of against this feeling that probably comes from my early childhood, I don't know. Actually to deal with it, I had to take a walk and like see the sky, because that like being aware of the spaciousness of the mind helps to kind of contain the fear. So that helped me. I felt it much more accurately this morning. So maybe because of like letting go of this mental chatter, my mind was very alert. So I woke up at 3 a.m. and felt that I don't have to sleep anymore. But there is this urge to stay in the pleasure, like the safe pleasure of this dullness. And the other way is to go towards the fear. It was pretty intense. And then when I recall the resolute part, which I later looked it up as sometimes being translated as willing to take to confront something, to like take up the fight. And it kind of helped me to gather the strength and, you know, at 3 a.m. to go to the meditation hall and kind of face the fear. It felt like everything aside from the sphere is distraction for me in my life, most of the time. So like the mind is escaping this kind of dread. So it was, it resonated again with what you called, you know, how you say like primary object and distraction. Then I felt that whatever is going against the stream should be primary object in a way. And whatever wants to like escape the unpleasantness is a distraction. So staying with that, the mind recalled some situations from childhood, like some situations when I was ridiculed or shamed, and I felt very kind of lonely and separated. And also I started to think that this could be seen in terms of the Dhamma, not just the like psychological content, because it felt like each of these times I was feeling the shame because of something I didn't have control over in my life. So it was like losing. So it was caused basically by identification with the body. I don't know. This is one of the kind of pathways I thought I could like investigate it. So I didn't get very far, but at some point my mindfulness started to grow, and I felt the urge to kind of stand up and to include more, you know, distractions to see the whole picture, like to see the systemic perspective. I remember it sometimes from my past retreats that this is at some point when I was really facing what's the most difficult, like expanding the mind and seeing the big picture help. But I didn't have any like traumatic breakthroughs, but it helped me to change my perspective towards this dullness. So to see it more clearly, how often I am indulging in this kind of pleasure of dullness and escape. My plan is kind of to be more like alert and awake and meditate with open eyes to balance the draw of the kind of subtle pleasure of dullness and escaping the body to you know this place inside of my head. Sorry, that was a bit long, but important for me, so appreciate any comments.
So when I listen from this end, I find that the whole the game is within you. You have no external part, you are not accusing someone, you are not expecting a blessing from outside. Now you are learning and studying whatever the happening, and you are in a meditation center, and as far as the withdrawn situation is concerned, even if you withdraw, but if your mind is not set, if the mind is not prepared, you may feel lonely. But if you take it positively, aloneness can happen. So loneliness and aloneness, same thing, you have different effects. So that changing from loneliness to the aloneness and aloneness to the loneliness, in between only you have the primary object. So you keep the primary object as the pivotal point. You keep the primary object as the benchmark and let the other distraction come and disturb you, or you entertain loneliness, aloneness, and you see everything is up to you. It is, there is no other external factors. So learn what you are learning gradually is how much the prepared mind, how much the preparedness is coloring your moods. So meditation make you wider spectrum and make you alert, make you diligent, make you vigilant. But you have to accept the mind need the rest. So then and there he finds the safe heavens and try to go there and have little rest. Never mind. Day by day, by going into the different these combination, your preparedness is increasing. That is, we call you are living. You are not escaping. You are facing. But at that age, when you are facing, when you are not escaping, it is very immediate. It is very costly. It is very demanding. So you have to be very, very sympathetic, continue it, but don't rush. You must not try to maximize results or something like that. To understand some kind of a some kind of evolution is taking place, you are just facilitating it and let it happen at its own pace rather than chasing behind any result. So from this end, from my point of view, from my listening, I feel now it is slowly, slowly progressing. Still we are in the early part of the retreat. Continue to maintain this same trend and it will be a natural unfolding with time to come. Good.
Thank you, Bhante. You answered some other questions I had. Because sometimes I am actually hit by this dullness like a hammer, and it's clear that it doesn't make sense to resist it, right? So especially when I go into fear and I expand, then after like 4 or 5 hours sometimes, in home as well, I'm like the dullness comes back and it's so irresistible that it like fighting it like clearly doesn't make sense. So I'm just observing how it also gives me some calmness. Thank you for that.
So you have to season it little by little. It is like the clutch in the car. Nowadays no clutches, it is automatic gears. But you see, you have to give from one gear to the other. In between, there is a kind of a pacing, that kind of a clutch. So likewise, mind is abundantly using this dullness or whatever may be escapism. You just keep an eye without much manipulating. Slowly, slowly, mind will season it. Mind will learn the art. But mind you, it is a painfully slow. Operation process is happening painfully slow, so you have to be patient and let it happen by its own order.
Thank you. It makes total sense for me.
Hello, Bhante.
Yes.
I don't really have much to say because I only came to Javorie yesterday. So my thoughts are really rough still. And so I try to let it go and calm myself down. What you said yesterday about the sounds was kind of on point for me because recently I have been very sensitive, especially to sounds, and I feel a strong rejection towards everything, towards heavy sounds and loud voices and stuff like that. So I try to observe that now. Yeah, so that's it for me. Thank you.
So that you try to explain about the sensitivity to the sounds. May I ask a question? May I ask?
Yeah.
So what is your response What is your response to the silence?
It's okay. I am very calm and I can I can release everything in silence, but I can't do that with sounds. I have strong rejection towards every sound.
So that means you are familiar with sounds. When you are experiencing sound silence, how do you know that you experience a sound silence?
Excuse me, can you repeat?
When you
it,
are
please?
In silence, when you are experiencing a silence, how do you know? How can you verify that I am in a silence? Try will you and see. When you are in silence, you can say in sounds, I am tense. In silence, I am relaxed. And in the sounds, absence of sounds, I know as a silence. Likewise, you have a positive, you have something tangible experience in silence. So try to figure it out. Then you will be more and more close. You will be more and more immediate with the silence. So whenever silence happens, you must understand what are the intrinsic characteristics, what are the unmistakable characteristics to say it is a silence. So that will be a good exercise, good meditation, good object of meditation, I suppose.
So what do I do with the sounds? Do I search for the qualities?
No, sounds, definitely you can give remarks. This is a irritating sound, appearing sound, disappearing sound, male sound, female sound. Mind you, each and every two sound waves, there's a silence. So if you are going to aware, if you are going to be alert on the silence, then you can understand just like sounds, there are some characteristics of the silence that also one can master. Simply, you are not making sounds, that is good, well, but whenever silence is happening, just try to understand how do I know, how can I verify that I am in silence. So you are studying silence.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Bhante.
Welcome.
Hello, Bhante. It's Claudia.
Claudia.
So I was also trying to watch the sounds as you recommended yesterday. And it's a bit complex, so just to shorten it up, in general, if the sounds are weak or distant or considered to be far away, then they are not so disturbing as the sounds that are interpreted by the mind as being close or coming closer to the mind or to me. Then the natural sounds also are less distracting than the man-made sounds, like let's say the river or the birds or insects are not so disturbing as the helicopter or the cars or the sawing of some trees. And also, if the sound is more constant, it's less disturbing as if there is a sudden sound. And what I have noticed more clearly is that I'm much more irritated if it's a man-made sound, because there is this assumption that there was a chance not to be there, like the people can reduce the sound. But if it's a natural sound, then somehow the mind accepts it that it's just there, it's natural. So more irritation comes when there are like some sounds created by people. And also in walking meditation, the sounds are a little bit less distracting than in the sitting meditation. So that was as for the sounds for me.
So that how homework for you is that imagine you lost in the forest. You don't know where to go, and then you hear a sound of a man-made sound. Instead of the natural sound, then you will be happy, because there may be some civilization and you can find a way out. But if you are in a human, when you are in a busy place, human sound is the worst.
That's true.
Yeah, therefore we have a constant hatred to the humankind.
Yes, seems like that.
Yeah, so that is true. That is true. So that is why the ambiguity of civilization, there's a huge article wrote by Sigmund Freud towards his latter part of his life, with the civilization what created is something ambiguous. But once you lost in the forest, again you need civilization, you need human sound, you need GPS, you need signals.
Mm.
So likewise, you have to understand everyone, everything has good and the bad. So you may continue, please.
Yeah, that's true. So, and then in the sitting meditation, as soon as I sit down, then at the beginning, I focus my attention on the breath, but very, very fast, the attention shifts naturally towards the flow, the constant flow of phenomena. Sometimes it's perceived like a vibration, sometimes rather like a sound, like rumbling or hammering, sometimes just like a sensation of a friction, of something moving very fast. And generally this creates a very unpleasant reaction of the mind, because sometimes it's unbearable. But yesterday it was quite interesting, as the mind stopped grasping the object in this fast flow, then somehow it was not so unbearable, not so unpleasant. The mind just let it flow very fast. And actually it started to be perceived as something very pleasant, almost ecstatic. And even though it was very dramatic, it was very strong, it was still perceived as a pleasant, or let's say soft, or no sharp edges, but rather soft and pleasant. But after a while, it came strange to me, and the mind started to investigate more, because this roundness of the shapes and the pleasantness, it usually comes with the sleepiness. But at the same time, I was sure that there is awareness, there is mindfulness. So it just somehow didn't come together. So it seemed that actually there was sleepiness, but still there was the mindfulness inside. But as soon as I realized that, yes, these are the signs of sleepiness, of a rather dull mind, then suddenly the sensations started to be very sharp and really unpleasant, like cutting, and it was really very fast, and the friction was very strong. But still the mind could maintain this, like, not non-reactivity, not trying to push away the sensations or grasp to or try to know exactly what objects are passing by. So that was a kind of very strong experience, that even though I was sure that there was a constant mindfulness, but at the same time the quality of the object was telling me that the mind is almost sleeping, that it's very dull mind.
So in sounds also you try to, when we are explaining sounds also, you try to explain that the flat sound, continuous, is okay, but in the wave-like, spike-like thing, sometimes irritating. The same thing can happen in your primary object also. Object may be completely, constantly stay, or sometimes it is changing. It is going up and down, different shapes, different manners, different characteristics appearing. So these are two modes of the same object. So only a long observer can understand sometimes the primary object appear like a horizon, just flat. Or sometimes it appears like a waves in the seashore. So whenever you are explaining the sounds, I can clearly understand what to try to explain. When you are explaining about the sitting meditation and primary object, are you referring to this flat level and the going up and down? Out of that, flat is sleepy and up and down is more interesting. Am I correct?
Well, yes, the up and down is more interesting, but if it's too up and down, then it's unpleasant.
Yeah, so, that is why that up and down is what we call impermanent nature. The flat one is, we call it is eternity. We expect everything eternal, not changing, and hard and fast like. So now your mind is maybe learning, accustoming, familiarizing, how to cope up with up and down, changing nature. It is happening in three facets. The shape is changing, the manner is changing, and its natural characteristic, intrinsic characteristics are changing. But anyway, that is the doorway opening to the reality as such. So therefore, if it is flat, it's okay, no problem. Only that you have to keep an eye to be not to get bored and sleep. But when it is changing, just see, these are the early signs of the impermanent notion, changing notion, evolutionary notion, and mind little hesitant to grasp it. So you have to let it happen slowly, slowly. Even changing happen, mindfulness is constant. To give an example, when you are sitting, mind may be flat, about to get up and go, or to the walking meditation, then you can understand shape is changing, manner is changing, and the natural characteristic from the sitting meditation or the walking meditation is changing. Can you see the continuity of the mindfulness through these posture junctions? So likewise, keep that openness to the varietal entertainment, spikes and up, going up and down, let it grow in the natural way, without pushing or without withdrawing.
Yes. Okay, Bhante. Yes. Yes, I understand. Thank you. Yes.
Hi, Bhante. This is Zoltan. I would like to report two experiences from last day during the walking meditation. I'm still struggling to keep my mindfulness on the meditation object for longer than a few minutes. And so I discovered that in most cases I'm walking in the mindless state, which means that I don't know how did I got distracted from the meditation object. I don't know what is the content of the mind, and I don't have any idea how I exited that mindless state. So the next time I tried to pay more attention, and when I discovered next time that I'm not with the meditation object, I immediately had a look at the mind. What is it, the content of the mind? And it was a thinking. I thought about some things, but I did not know how that idea appeared in my mind. So I tried to track back how did I got there. And it was actually six or seven ideas happening in a fraction of the second. And I went back from the seventh to the sixth idea, and the fifth, and the fourth, and the two, and the third. And finally, I discovered that the whole thinking process was triggered by an image, which I saw during the meditation. And that was a quite surprising idea, because when I reviewed this whole thinking process, I discovered that basically, the mind was in a worrying state, and it started to worry about something, and the triggering point was that image. And later, when during walking meditation, I observed or I paid attention to the sounds and to the images and other objects, which we discussed earlier, that three groups and the third group, which is the most distracting for my mind. It appears that the mind is abusing the object to get into that worrying state all the time. So it doesn't really matter what is the sound. It can be a sound of the helicopter, or it can be an image. If it suits the mind to get into a worrying state, then it basically will go into this mental proliferation again. So this is my experience with the walking meditation.
I have a question.
Yes.
So when you are in the series of thinking, 7 to 6, 6 to 5, 5 to 4, or 4 to 5, 5 to 6, 6 to 7, when you in thinking, can you just look at the thinking without worrying? You got the question?
Thank you, sir.
Now you are mindless, you are unmindful, and you know it is due to the thought. It is not an image. An image may be the beginning. But can you see the complete...
You are blind broken when you start to look at the fourth to sixth again.
So we yes, are it seems like... The, Lucas, you have anything to report?
I only have... I feel a little tension in my body, particularly in my kind of head. And so I'm trying to observe it and relax in it, not trying to be very forcefully mindful. Yes. So
that means you're becoming mature. Whenever it is tensionful, you just observe the tension, don't force mindfulness. But the understanding of tension itself is mindfulness.
Mm-hmm. And Bhante, may I ask a question?
Yeah.
So where is a point where one still keeps the primary object, and where when one kind of shifts the focus on the phenomena arising and passing in each moment by moment.
Yeah, it's theoretically it is a question when you are trying to be focused with the primary object, how this rising and passing away happens, or should I have to do something? The only we can do is the object itself is changing its shapes and the manners very fast. Then only you can understand this shape is appearing and disappearing, this manner is appearing and disappearing, or if you are not expecting, if you are not facilitating the passing and rising, you may think this quick changes as a danger of mindfulness, as a negative thing of mindfulness. So therefore, when rising and passing away going to happen, you appear like concentration disappeared or concentration become weaker, mindfulness become weaker, your object is becoming blur, or difference between rising and falling appear not much difference like. So therefore, these are the early signs, changing shape, changing nature, and fast moving. You must not underestimate your mindfulness, just let it go, and then everything going to become a flux like. It is going to be like a salad like, everything mixed up. And so this area is the point, this is the area where often you develop boredom and the monotonous. So if you are a well-instructed person, you can say now it is preparing ground for the rising and passing away. So don't withdraw, just keep on observing the changing nature of the shapes, changing nature of the manners, changing nature of the natural characteristics. So it is a transitional period. Maybe that question is on this transitional period.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Bhante.
Yeah.
It's Samantha here. I wonder whether I could just clarify something. In the question I asked while we're waiting, the question I asked yesterday about the... being with the object of my meditation, which is the breath, and whilst I enjoy being with the breath, the peace and calmness that I get from watching the breath, then my mind sometimes shifts to the on back and forth to maybe to the thoughts, and then I'm aware of it, and then I come back to it. So it goes on up and down like that. And then Bhante said to observe my liking and disliking. Could you, Bhante, expand what that exactly means? Because I'm just wondering whether also I should sort of like inject some control, or not control, like effort as well. Have a little bit of, so that I direct the mind to the goal. Should I do anything like that as well? Where does the effort part come into it? And what Bhante exactly meant by watch whether I like being with the wandering mind, or whether I like being with the peace of the mind.
So let me draw an example, simile. The peace of the mind is like a girl. Wandering mind is like a boy. The mother is having the one girl and one boy. And mother knows this is the nature of the girl. They are very calm and quiet, beyond the ball with the object. But the boy, jumping up and down and wandering, distraction. And I know my mother is happy with the boy. That is my experience. What is your, are you happy with the girl's nature or boy's nature?
Girl stage.
That is what I am telling. That means your liking is for the girl's behavior and the board, not the boy. But the mind to develop, it must go hand in hand. Once in a way, it must be very radical. It break neck and jump up and down and kind of thing. This is a very macho, manly, boyish. And sometimes the other thing. So without their interaction, without their reciprocal behavior, there is no healthy growth. So you have to understand our liking and disliking, blocking one part, allowing only one part.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you must understand, don't mm-hmm. withdraw your liking and disliking. Just see it is mm-hmm. filtering, it is mm-hmm. Rejecting some part. You just see,
yes.
it's whose agenda? Yeah. Whose agenda yes. is this? Am I to just, without question, to accept my liking and disliking? Who put this script into my mind? This liking and this mm. is disliking. This is not your, no, always not for your well-being, I am sure.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So this is the way we learn our psychiatrics, our psychology.
Yes. So if the mind is wandering, do I then let the mind wander? Or should I have the mindfulness? Who is telling me the mindfulness have to now be aware that the mind has wandered and it has to go back to the primary object, the breath?
So when the mind is wandering, do you think you are not mindful, or you are aware of mindful wandering mind?
I will, as soon as I catch it, I'm aware that the mind has wandered from what I'm supposed to be doing, which is the observation of the breath, staying with the breath.
So the sequence is, first you understand mindfulness, as you understand, mm-hmm. as you develop advancing, you understand unmindfulness. You can't understand yes. unmindfulness without mindfulness. So therefore, yes. unmindfulness is more challengeful, more dramatic, but mm-hmm. you have to understand unmindfulness come into being under the light of mindfulness, under the light of understanding of mindfulness. So therefore, some are very radical, just to be mm-hmm. aware about the wandering mm-hmm. mind, radical mind, without worrying, without rejection,
yes.
without negativity, then you can mm-hmm. understand humankind.
Yes, yeah. And then, so then do I, once I know that the mind's wandering, then do I tell the mind, now we have to go back?
You are fostering, you are helping your ego. You are helping your controlling power. You just see, once you comes mm-hmm. to know mind is wandering, you are uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You wish to do something. You are asking what to do. Just see, you just wait. Now I am wandering. I know I am my wandering mind is. But if I wish, I can go to the primary object. I can either be in the wandering mind with worries, or I can be without worries. So likewise, a lot of options. These options are only available for inside meditators. So mm-hmm. don't have preconceived idea. This is better than that. You just play. Just play. And that is the only time you are living. All the other times you are in a dream. You are directed by someone, or directed dispositions, or your character traits. But here, completely new set of hand, new hand of mm-hmm. the set of cards. So that means you are living, or you are rejuvenating.
Mm. Okay. All right, Bhante. Thank you. I'll look into that a bit more.
Welcome.
Thank you, Bhante.
Don't like girls all the time. Be happy with the boys also.
Okay. Thank you, Bhante.
Hi, Bhante, can you hear me now?
Yes.
This is Zoltan. We were able to restore the connection.
Uh-huh.
So if you still remember the question you were about to ask.
Give my comments and then you can understand whether I am still remember. But I was waiting to ask was, when you are in an unmindful situation or thinking situation, and maybe thinking thoughts, chain thoughts, one after the other, understanding your mindfulness is the primary object, and that is also kind of understanding or kind of mindfulness. And sometimes you can understand, I am not mindful on the primary object, but I am in thinking, either after thinking or while thinking. But you see, after thinking or while thinking, always you use the term worrying. You are worried. You think this is mindlessness, unmindfulness, or kind of thing. Can you understand? You can develop not to worry about wandering mind while you are wandering, or after that. Then you are a new person. What I try to tell you is that is more challengeful than be mindful on your primary object. Do you agree?
Yep, I agree.
So is it a good challenge for you?
Yeah, it's a good challenge.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Hello, Bhante.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So I've took your advice as to trying out the different approach to the walking meditation with slow movement and the eyes cast down. So I've walked in all possible manners, and I've noticed this. So when I'm walking normally with the eyes looking ahead and with normal pace, the mind is much faster than the body, and because this movement of the body is carried autonomously by a part of the mind, I have to watch both the mind and the body because they are not very, let's say, connected, and I have to like care for both of them. Now, when I slow down but still look ahead, because this going very slow is not a natural way for me to walk. The body sensations occupy more of the mind space, so I have to care less about the mind and less about the body because they happen all together, so I can look at them together. And when I look down and walk slowly, the mind and the body are happening pretty much at the same time, meaning I don't have to look at the mind door and at the body or the hearing or the seeing, smelling and tasting door separately. They are kind of like wrapped together. Also, during the walking meditation, one particularly strong affection arose, and when it arose and I was going with the eyes looking forward and with a normal pace, it was hard not to get carried away with that affection. It was hard going back to the either to the soles of the feet or to the watching the awareness. But when I slowed down and was looking down, then the soles of the feet were the primary objects. The affection was at the start the secondary object. Then it switched. So the affection became the primary object and the soles of the feet became the secondary object, but I kept the attention on the soles of the feet, and then it flipped again. So the soles of the feet were the primary object and the affection was the secondary object, and then the affection dissipated. So that is one thing. The second
Let me comment on that, then it will be very easy, because very interesting. Imagine that you are going to make a video for a beginner to introduce walking meditation. And how can you incorporate this diligent application of slowly moving and looking down so that you develop kind of a desire, kind of a lust or kind of affection to the walking? And I think it is good. And then whenever you are looking up and down and not in a slow pace, a body and mind is completely two different things. But when you are becoming diligent and doing, you appear like kind of a love affair, kind of a love arises. So that is what really we wanted to share with the beginners. So what you are explaining is like writing a manuscript to make a video. So that is a very good way of presenting, but no, I am not disturbing you, but I am telling this is the way as far as you are a beginner. So once you are accustomed to this, this affection also will be slowly reducing. But as far as we are promoting mindfulness, we are promoting to the beginners, we are using them as marketing tactics. to teach them how to slow down, how to look down and go to a general area, not with much of attraction and distraction right round. So this is the beginner's mind. So it's a very good sign. Once the walking meditation, the pace, the art, the manner you started, it is connecting the sitting meditation and day-to-day activities, two extremes, in a very healthy way. So therefore it's good. You may continue, please.
Okay, so the other thing was about the sitting meditation. I must say that I'm at the start, I must say that I'm used to the sitting meditation with the eyes open for like past several years. And then when I started to sit with the eyes closed, I've experienced what I've experienced before when I was way back when I was sitting with eyes closed, meaning that the general level of attention was dialed down in favor of like imagination kicking in, and that there was like a lot of the mind objects that were carrying the mind away, which doesn't happen with the eyes open, where the general feeling of the or seeing the space contributes to the spaciousness to the of the mind, and I'm not really bothered by visual objects when sitting. And as well, the mind is more energized with the eyes open.
That I can understand, and I have not done much of experience, but in Zen meditation, you are sitting against a wall, maybe 1.5 meters, and then keep the eyes open, but just a blank wall. I think it is good for not to fall asleep also. But now you mentioned verbally, you don't worry, you are not worrying about the images you see with the open eyes, but the images you see with the closed eyes, that is mind-made images. That's imagination, hallucination, daydreaming. They are more attractive, more distracting, more defiling you than the reality in what you see. Am I correct?
Yes. Well, with the eyes open, I still have imagination, but it's in the back. It's like the secondary object at best. But with the eyes closed, it's like it becomes sometimes the primary object.
Yeah, so just go prepared. Try both. Don't try to just directly go into the closed eyes or open eyes. Now you have two options. Whenever you find the imagination go wild and by mind taken for a ride, you just open your eyes and see. And then the visual objects, as well as maybe sometimes your breath and other things happen, and imagination become faded off. But whenever you closed your eyes, the imagination have the daydreaming, fantasizing, everything become very prominent. And your primary object as well as the reality become secondary. So it's a very good way of putting into in communication, and without prejudgmental, use them in an alternative way to keep the diligence up, to keep the mindfulness intact. Then you will be using in an advantageous way.
And there is this third thing that I'd like to report. It's about the sensation of heat and sensation of thirst that's connected with mainly with walking, as well with the doing the yogi jobs. So I've noticed that when the body is starting to get heated up from either sun, because it's a beautiful weather here, or from the movement, well, first when I start walking, usually saliva in my mouth is quite pleasant and cold. Then it gets heated up, and I feel like it's a way of and it corresponds to the body being warmer, and then when the body is getting really warm, the saliva disappears from the mouth, and then the thirst appears. And then I've noticed that after doing the yogi jobs, I was very thirsty. Instead of like going and having a glass of water, I've wondered whether if I go into the shade, would that thermostat reverse? So would the saliva appear in my mouth on its own? And when I went into the shade and started walking slowly into the shade, after some time, the mouth injected the saliva back into the mouth cavity, and it was again, it was like this kind of cold saliva, and I wasn't as much thirsty as I was. So so that's the thing to report.
Yeah, that is, you go to the shadow just in autopiloting way because you feel thirsty. Or you can go with prepared mind. Now I feel thirsty, I wish to have a cup of water, so I go to the shady place. And from thirsty place to the shady place, you can understand the things happening in a thin slicing of time. Slowly, slowly, the thirsty mind is disappearing and saliva is coming and not necessary much to drink. That is the beauty of prepared mind. If you go prepared, this everything happens, but it in a slow manner, it is digestible, it is palatable. And ultimately, it become a knowledge. It become under-the-nose knowledge. Otherwise, you are walking like a robot, working like autopiloting. And against that, now you are more diligent. Now you are more vigilant. So see one moment to one other moment, one posture to the other posture, one mood to other mood, one object to the other object. They keep them open without premeditated idea. Just see it.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Banta.
Welcome. Okay, we are supposed to end the session. Is there anyone?
No, Banta, it's all from us. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. We are ending the session.